Raised Rowdy.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Raised Rowdy Podcast. I'm Nikki T.
My name is Kurt Ozon.
And we are here with Miss Callie Prince today.
Hi.
Yay.
Hey, Callie. How are you?
Good. How are y'all?
Good. How many podcasts have you been on before?
This is my second.
Second. Who was the first one?
We Are Music. We Are Music.
We are, and maybe we are not music.
Are not music. We are Raised Rowdy.
We are Raised Rowdy.
Yes.
Well, thanks for coming out here to the luxurious Hermitage,
thanks
Tennessee.
Thanks for having me.
Or Old Hickory or wherever we're at.
Mm-hmm. Nashville.
This luxurious room with posters.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful in here.
Yeah, we upped our game a little bit recently, so it's good
for
you.
I love it.
Brag, brag, brag.
Brag, brag.
Hey, sometimes you got to.
Hey, that's it. If we don't brag on us, who will, I guess, you know?
I will.
My parents.
Yeah, definitely Kurt's parents and Callie. Well, thanks for jumping on the podcast with us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Callie has been a longtime member of the Raised Rowdy family. I told her recently at the round, I was like, I think you've played more than anyone else recently, and we appreciate it.
You've overtaken Ashlyn Kraft, probably.
Yeah, Ashlyn won't even answer our calls anymore.
Really?
No.
I'm riding with her tomorrow.
I'm just joking. We love you, Ashlyn.
Tell her we said hi.
I'll relay it.
But it's one of those things where it's like, the way we book, you know, is like we'll book a friend and then they'll book their friends.
Yeah.
So your crew is definitely part of the Raised Rowdy family.
We are.
Yeah.
I feel like we are rowdy though. So like we live the part, you know.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. And Callie is like, I mean, you're extra deep because you went to a festival with us.
Oh my God.
And lived through tenting for 4 or 5 days.
Oh my God, I did. I tented for 5 days.
Wow.
I'm still recovering.
When was this?
That was tailgating Tall Boys last year in Illinois.
It was.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
And Matt.
That's when Nikki T was still drinking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was being a bad boy, but also a good boy.
Good
too.
Boy, yeah. For sure. That's a lot. That's a lot to deal with.
Callie and Max and Matt went up early, too. So you guys were there even like extra longer.
Yeah,
than
we
I
were.
Was.
Yeah, we were. We were there. I feel like we were there like an extra day.
Yeah.
Than y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were.
I and love then, Festival Nick.
Yeah, Festival
he's a,
Nick.
He's a great person.
Dresses like a degenerate and has fun.
It was fun. Yeah. I had a blast.
Yeah. Who played?
I had a blast. Jelly Roll, Bailey Zimmerman, Lainey Wilson, Chase Matthew, Josh Ross, Mackenzie
Lakeview.
Carpenter, Lakeview.
Yep. Alexander K, I think.
Yes.
Yep. And
sounds
then
fun.
Matt Schuster.
Yes.
Yep.
Trying to think of who
Nickelback?
Was on main stage. Yes. How could I forget Nickelback? How could I forget that?
I thought you were joking at first.
Nope. Nickelback. Mm-hmm. That was their first headlining festival date. And I think they said in 10 years.
Wow.
It was wild.
Hell it was great.
It was very fun.
Standouts from the festival?
I mean, Jelly Roll, like the Bloomington crowd was the church and Jelly Roll was the preacher for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He was insane.
All ages.
Yeah.
All ages.
It was like a congregation, man.
Yes.
I love Jelly Roll.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I haven't got to like really meet him, but he seems like a dude that I would love to meet.
He's just a light, truly. Yeah. I think I've told you this story before. I don't know if I ever told on the podcast, but when I was at the Grammys, I was taking a piss, and I look over, and Jelly Roll's in the corner of the bathroom with a couple of bros, and they're just smoking a joint in there, or a blunt, I think it was. And I was like, hey, Jelly. He's like, what up, dude? You know, he's just like being around this guy, just like you just feel better.
Yeah.
Like he's just got this energy and it makes sense why so many people love him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. That's great.
Well, Callie, what's been going on in your world? So I know we've had you play a lot, so we get to hear a lot of your great songs.
Yes.
A lot of which aren't released yet.
Yes. A lot of them.
But well, let's talk about your most recent release.
She Calls Him Baby.
Yeah. That one is like the first one that kind of like started getting smoke on socials for you, right?
Yes, that was the first
started
one.
Started popping on TikTok a little.
Yeah.
I remember chatting with you when that was going down and you were like, Nick, I think it's happening.
Yes, I was like, I was so excited. But, you know, like the whole like TikTok game is like one can get like 1 million. The next one's going to get like 200. So it's like, it's really humbling actually. So, you know.
It's an interesting thing.
Yes.
The way that you would make it so that all of them get millions is have just thousands and thousands of dollars to put behind them.
And yes.
If you have that, then that can make all of them
good.
Go.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have that.
Same, sis.
But,
same.
It kind of like was getting traction. So I was like, let me put it out. And then I like had all these girls like messaging me and they were like, put the song out. And I was like,
okay.
I was like, okay. And they're like, when's the song? I mean, I still to this day have people like DM me, when's this song coming out? And I'm like, the song's out. Like, both versions actually are out. Yeah. So, you know, I'm like, yeah, like, the song's out. You know, go listen to it. But, yeah, so.
And you work with Ryan for production?
Yes.
Tell us about Ryan and how you guys met.
So, I met Ryan through.
Who's Ryan? Ryan Eumas? No.
Ryan Cohn.
Ryan Cohn.
Ryan Cohn. I met Ryan through Max, I think. Or maybe around. I think I met him at a Raised Rowdy Round, actually, maybe. But
where all the good networking happens.
Yes. Yeah. I think I've met most of my friends at Raised Rowdy Rounds.
Well, that sounds great, honestly.
You know, I just love it. But we met and we started writing together, and She Calls Him Baby was the first song me and Ryan wrote together.
Mm-hmm.
So it was funny, like, I was like 2 hours late to the write, and Ryan was very, like, he was not happy with me because, like, we had never written and, like, we didn't really know each other. Yeah. But, like, I had written with Max before, and, like, Max knew that I was a degenerate, so he was just like, you know, go with the flow. But Ryan was, like, not very happy. And so then I came in with the idea, and I was like, let's write this song. And then we wrote it in, like, 45 minutes. And so Ryan forgave me for being late.
See, so it was only a 2 hour and 45 minute write. Not that bad.
Well,
say 15 minutes.
Yeah. To them, it was two hours and 45. To me, it was only 45.
Yeah.
You know? So it was great. But, and then Ryan sent the demo to that song, and he was like, I just started doing demos, so, like, don't go hard on me. Like, you know, it's just, this is, I'm trying, I'm learning. And I got to listen to it. And I was like, what? I was like, you're learning. I was like, sounds like to me, you know what you're doing. And so, like, he was so good. And so I was like, do you want to, like, produce my other stuff too? So he was like, yeah, I would love to. So we started working together, and here we are.
Yeah. I love it. Ryan's one of those guys that's kind of like Maxwell, where he does, like, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Ryan is,
love,
like,
that.
Yeah.
Everything, literally.
You would actually love him. He's like, kind of nerdy like we are.
Cool.
Yeah.
Met all my wives at traffic jams and all my friends and producers at Raise Rowdy events. Yeah.
There you go.
Well, it's been great to watch you kind of, like, do your thing. So it was cool to, like, see those moments through that, and also get to watch you, like, just figure out, like, what your thing is and, like,
yeah,
what you're trying to sound like.
I'm,
you know,
still trying to figure that out too.
Well, that's, and like, that's part of it.
Yeah. I feel like that's, like, been the most challenging thing, is the, what do I want to sound like as an artist? Like,
yeah,
I don't want to sound like anybody else.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do I do that? So I'm still, like, figuring that out. But
I think that's an important thing. And obviously, I mean, as you hear artists through time, that changes.
Yeah.
You know? So don't think, like, you have to have the thing figured out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, definitely, like, your vocal song to song is, you know, slightly different. So you can kind of see that. But the stuff that you've been working up recently, I feel like, is your best stuff.
Me too. I think so too. And I'm really proud of it. Really proud of it. So.
Do you have any other songs that are kind of, like, in the works?
Yeah. So I've been promoting one, Boys That Smoke, mm-hmm. that comes out May the 3rd. And then I just recorded a new one with Ryan. I'm working on a project, because I've always said, like, for the past couple of years that I want to put an EP out, but I never really had, like, a group of songs that I was, like, super, super proud of, that I was like, let me put all these songs out together.
Yeah.
And now I feel like I have that. So I'm going to do that. And I'm going to do it this time. I'm actually going to do it and not say I'm going to do it. Not do it.
Callie, I don't know if you know Kurt, but was one of the artists that we did. Raised Rowdy Presents Callie Prince and Friends.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring that up. I think that's so cool that you do that. And in Milwaukee this weekend, I was talking to Graham about it, and we were just talking about how everyone in this town that knows Nikki T loves Nikki T.
Yeah,
I know that you'll agree with me, and I love him very much. And Graham does, and I was like, oh, yeah, funny story. Nick is the reason Colby came to town, essentially, because he did a Raised Rowdy Presents, and I knew that you did one, too. I just think it's so fun. The only thing I don't like about it is that you do it on Friday sometimes, and I'm literally never in town on Fridays. But everything besides that, I think it's so, I don't know, it's just so wholesome and fun.
Yeah.
It's great.
They're great nights, and it becomes kind of like a celebration, not just of you, but of all the people that you put into your life.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I love it. I loved my night. It was so fun.
I've never been to one. I don't think.
We'll have to do one on a Friday when you're in town.
Can you explain to our listeners what it is?
Hi, listeners.
Hello.
And viewers. So what we do is, of course, we do singer-songwriter events in town often. So we do Sunday nights. We do every other Tuesday. And then we do Wednesdays. Now we do full band showcases over at Winners. But every once in a while, we will do a Friday night at Live Oak.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Live Oak is the bar that I started my writer's round at, that Matt started his writer's round at. We love it dearly. And so we'll kind of like have an artist that we kind of build the night around. So we've done, Colby Acuff did an event. Mm-hmm. We had Shelby Ray do one. We had July Moon do one. Mm-hmm. We had Paxton, and then you. So
that's all?
Yeah, we haven't had that many.
Dang.
Just like family, you know?
Yeah.
It's a... And it's something super cool. Oh, we did Yellow Rose Artist too. So, which is a management company out of Texas. Okay. That was actually a really cool one. So we have two podcasts coming up with two of the artists from that, Sterling Elza and Cole Barnhill, coming up soon. So super excited about that. Yeah. But it's really like a celebration oftentimes around a release or just around an artist that is like kind of like what we identify as encapsulating what Raise Rowdy is, which is kind of like a family oriented, friendly, good people thing, and great songs. So yeah. We were super excited when you said you wanted to do one with us.
Oh, I loved it. I had the best time. That's all my friends.
Fun. Yeah.
I had to like threaten Max. I was like, if you don't play a song that you wrote with me, I swear to God, I'll unplug your microphone.
How did you and Max meet, first of all?
I don't think I can tell that story on the podcast. We always hung out in the same group, like that whole career. Like we just kind of all ran together. And long story short, like randomly, I was about to quit my nanny job, and I was gonna play Broadway because I was like, I need to make money, and I don't want to have like a 9-to-5 or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I needed a duo partner, and the first person that came to my mind was Max. For some odd reason, I'd never hung out with the dude, never like hardly ever talked to him. But I was like, maybe Max. And so then I asked him, and he was like, yeah, let's play. And we've been playing ever since. Mm-hmm. So
you guys definitely have that, like, brother-sister relationship.
Oh, yeah. It's the great amount of times that people are like, are y'all dating? Like, we'll be playing, and somebody will come up like, are y'all dating? Are y'all together? And I'm like,
ugh. Oh, poor Max.
So Max does the same thing. No, he literally will be like, ugh. And I'm like, yeah, we're not.
Sometimes when you get to know someone too well, you just, like, you're more family than you are anything else.
Yeah, sometimes I have to catch myself. I'm like, okay, these people don't realize that we're like super close, and so when I'm like,
yeah,
they're like, oh, that's like, I'm like, no. You
know? Yeah, it's just friendly banter.
Yeah,
you know,
I've definitely had that plan for a female artist before when they're like, my friend's like, dude, she's so hot. I go, what do you mean? She's like my sister. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the industry is a strange place, you know. So there's a lot of people that are like that, but there's a lot of people that you're like just friends with. I always like, I'm one of those guys that has had female friends my whole life. Mm-hmm. So it's like weird to me. I know some guys that are just like mostly friends with guys and not too many girls. And it's just not how I've ever been.
Yeah. You know? No, I've always had more guy friends than girls.
Yeah.
So like, and it's not weird to me at all.
Yeah. I feel like girls having guy friends isn't weird, but sometimes like a dude having more or equal female friends, I'd say I'm probably like 50-50.
Yeah. And I remember I was hanging out with Whitney, Colby's girlfriend, because, you know, it's like she doesn't have as many friends. She just moved to town. So I'd bring her with me and I'd go stuff. And Trevor's like, who's this girl you bring with? I'm like, it's Colby's girlfriend. Like, we're just hanging out. And he's like, that's kind of weird. I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah. We're just friends.
Yeah.
You know, I guess everyone's different, but
I hang out with all those guys all the time.
Oh yeah.
Like Jake will be out of town and I'm like hanging out with the guys.
Yeah.
Somebody actually, this is funny. Somebody the other day, Christian's gonna kill me for saying this. Christian he texted me the other day and he was like, I was trying to flirt with this girl at Live Oak and she was like, you have a girlfriend? And he was like, no, I don't. And he was like, she said, yeah, you do, like Callie. And he said, Callie Prince? And she was like, yeah, like, y'all are dating. And he was like, no. Oh, my God. And I was like, oh, God, I'm hanging out with these guys too much. People think we're together.
No, everyone thought that. Like, I remember Brooke Lee, when she moved to town, she was like, blah, 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 your girlfriend. I was like, who are you talking about? Like, I don't have a girlfriend. And she thought it was Heather, because Heather sold merch for us at Rowdy on the Row.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, not Heather. I was like, she likes way better looking dudes than me.
God bless Heather.
We miss you, Heather.
That's so funny.
It's just interesting, and people just assume stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It's weird, but
especially with the internet these days, you know.
Yeah, the internet's terrible, but also great.
It's great. Yeah. But bad.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
Dopamine addiction is real. We talked about that on the previous podcast. Mm. And it's so easy to like tie your dopamine to like someone saying that they hearted your picture, which is so weird if you think about it.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it's a trillion dollar addiction, right? Industry and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. We don't make any of it, but we made $100 off Instagram the one year. That
How
was
do you
great.
Make money off Instagram?
You're asking the wrong people, Callie. Yeah.
They had like Reels bonuses. So like if your Reels did well for a while, they would like bonus you. I think they were like trying to see if that was like sustainable.
Yeah.
And then they stopped doing it, so I assume it's not sustainable.
Oh, dang. You know? Okay.
But you'll have that.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. TikTok has things too where you can do like
you can like monetize your mm-hmm. your stuff.
Yeah.
And do lives.
Yeah, lives. Like Trey Lewis makes a bunch of money on
really?
Lives. Not even kind of trying to make money. People really? Just give him money when he's on lives. It's wild.
I don't know why, but like I cannot go live. It's just something about it. It's just like I think it's a me thing. It's not like anybody else. It's a me problem.
Yeah.
That's why I can't
You're
do
just
it.
Not comfortable.
I just like I don't know, like the idea of me like talking to a screen and like nobody is really there to like talk back to me. I just like feel weird. But
well, what if you did it with like a friend with you?
Yeah, I could do that.
That might be the move.
While you're playing video games.
Well, yeah.
I could do that.
Yeah, you could just make fun of Christian.
Yeah.
You know?
Or we could play Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
I mean, yeah.
Just bring some of the homies with you. And then you get comfortable with that. And then you could probably get comfortable without it too.
Yeah.
The first time I did these podcasts, we were just like, come down to Nashville, didn't know what we were doing, me and a buddy and the artist, and we just had no idea.
Really?
But then you figure it out.
Yeah.
It's just like anything.
Yeah. I mean,
just like playing in front of people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got over that, so I can do anything.
Well, tell us about your background. Like, where
Where's
you
that
grew
accent
up.
Come from?
Yeah.
Mississippi.
M-I-S-S-I-S-S.
Philadelphia, Mississippi.
Same place as Hardy's from.
Yep.
Yep.
Same town.
Tell us about your background. Like, when did you get into music? Was it church or how did you get in there?
Church. I've always sang. Mm-hmm. So like growing up, I was like, I want to be a country music singer. Like that's mm-hmm. all I wanted to do. So like I just sang, I sang, I sang. And so I came to Nashville when I was 15 and I recorded a cover CD, like a 2-song cover CD. It was a Kelsey Ballerini song and a Maren Moore song.
Wow, I'm old.
Yeah. It was,
yeah, we're old.
What songs?
It was My Church by Maren Morris and then Dibs by Kelsey Ballerini. So, like, old songs.
How old were you at this time?
15.
That's great.
So I was on like tour with Kelsey when that song came out.
Really?
Yeah. I was playing for Janet Kramer, but it was, like, the Women of Country, Next Women of Country tour. And it was, like, it was so much fun. She's great. She's such a nice person.
I listened to that the other day, like, of me singing it, and I was, like, just, like, the change. Like, the 10 years of, like.
Oh, yeah.
I was, like, wow.
Well, you've been working your butt off, dude.
I know, but, like, my voice, I was like, I don't want anybody to ever hear that.
Like, is it on the internet?
No. Oh, God, no. The only place, it's in my mom's car. Like, I downloaded
we're calling
it.
Your mom.
I downloaded it to her car, and so it's in her car. So that's the great. Only place it is.
You can download stuff to a car?
I didn't know that either. She's had her car for, like, 10 years, though. So.
That's crazy.
Calling dibs. On your lips.
Literally.
I do love that song, Peter Pan, though. That's such a.
I think still sing that song out. When I play Broadway, I sing that song.
A lot of her songs are great.
I love
them. Oh, yeah. I think that's my favorite one.
Peter Pan.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
Super good song.
Great song.
So, you grew up loving music.
Yes.
Recorded a 2-song cover record when you were 15.
No one will ever hear.
Oh, well, we're going to get it from your mom.
Oh, Lord.
I'm just going to make her record it on the phone while she plays it in the car.
Oh, God.
Just so we have it.
Oh, God.
Go carjack her mom just to get it.
Yeah. No, I recorded that, and then I went back home, and I was like, okay, this is what I want to do. And then somebody was like, if you want to make it, like, be successful, like, you're going to have to learn to play the guitar. And I had no idea how to play the guitar. So I taught myself how to play the guitar, like, the 3 chords, G, D, C. That's literally the only 3 chords I knew for, like, the longest time.
Yeah.
Solid choice.
But I taught myself how to play it. And then I started, like, kind of writing songs a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They were terrible. Compared to the ones I have now, they're just, like, you know, they're just beginner songs, you know. But,
of course.
But yeah, I started writing songs, and then after high school, I wanted to move up here immediately, and my mom and my dad were like, no, you need to go to college, and you need to do the whole thing, and I was like, ugh, okay. And so I went to Mississippi State for 1 year. And after my first semester, I was like, I'm done with this. Like, I'm like, done. I don't want to be here. Like, I'm not a school person. This is not for me. I don't want to be here. And so they were like, just finish out the year and we'll talk about it. And I was like, I literally am so miserable right now. Like, I was going to school for like, to be a physical therapist. And I was like, I don't want to be, I'm just like, I don't want to be a physical therapist. Like, what am I doing? Wasting my time. And so after my second semester, April, I took my finals and I told my parents, I'm moving to Nashville. And I moved to Nashville like a week later.
Nice.
So I've been here ever since.
Yeah. So how long ago was that?
May 2019. So almost 5 years.
Crazy.
So that's me.
Yeah.
Here I am.
So when you got to town, how did you go about, like, did you have any friends when you moved?
No.
No.
I only knew like Hardy and his family when I moved up here. I went to school at SAE I got my associate's degree in entertainment business. But I met some people through there. And then through that, I met some other people and started writing and like started doing all that stuff. And like 6 months later, I played at Live Oak for the first time. Yeah. That was my first live show I played up here. And here I am.
Crazy.
Time flies.
What advice do you have for folks that are moving to town and don't have friends? Because we do have a lot of like aspiring artists or people that want to be in the music business.
Depending on how old you are.
Yeah.
No, I can't. Can I say it?
Yeah.
Fake ID.
Yeah.
Sorry. Don't cancel me, but I mean, I didn't have one.
Yeah.
But of course you didn't.
Actually did. My mom actually ordered mine from China.
That's funny.
Yeah. And it got taken the first time I tried to use it. It was so bad. It was terrible. But if like you're not 21, it's like hard, but network as much as you can.
Yeah.
Like honestly, that's how you make a lot of your friends, and you just like network and you just go play and go watch every show you can and just like talk to everybody after.
Yeah.
That's like, that was the hardest thing for me when I moved here, because I was like really shy. I used to be so shy.
I mean, you're still pretty shy.
I mean, yes, I'm still pretty shy. I'm still getting over that. But I mean, like, I used to be so shy. Like, I would not talk to anybody. I was like to myself. But you kind of have to get over that and kind of just talk to people and network and tell them about yourself. And don't be afraid to tell people what you do for a living.
Yeah.
Because I'm still afraid to do that. Because they're like, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I write songs.
Well, I mean, doing music for a living sounds crazy, but it's not here.
Yeah.
Of all places here, it's the least crazy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So there's so many people that do that. And there's so many people that you know that have publishing deals or artists that are making great money. And even people that aren't incredibly successful, you can make a good living doing this thing very easily.
Of course.
You
know?
And playing Broadway, you can make
absolutely.
You can make six figures playing Broadway.
Have you played Broadway extensively? So I know you guys had that 12:30 gig club.
So the only gig we have left is 12:30.
Yeah.
So we used to.
That's at Fifth and Broad.
Mm-hmm.
So Justin Timberlake spot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Love that spot.
Are you guys on the main floor for that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the best. I think that's like my favorite gig. And we only do it once a week. So it's like not overly like singing too many cover songs a week, because
it can leak into your brain.
Yeah. It can like really like, I don't know. But I do 12:30 club and then I write songs.
Yeah.
And so.
How often do you write songs a week?
4 or 5 times a week.
Yeah. And is it mostly with folks that you're like in your friendship crew, or like, are you starting to branch out of that and try to build more?
I'm starting
more?
To branch out. Yeah. I've been like being booked with a lot of, people that I've like really like looked up to and listened to for a while. And so I'm like writing with them, but I'm also still writing with my friends because like I like started with them. And so like, I feel like if I can write with other people and then like learn from them and bring it back to like write with my friends, I feel like that will help us grow like to a different level.
Yeah. So you said booking. Are you booking yourself, or do you have someone booking for you? Or?
I have someone helping me book stuff right now. But like for the most part, I'm still doing it myself.
Yeah.
But right now I have someone else helping me. So.
That's great.
Which is really nice, because It's hard.
It is hard.
It's super hard.
Well, and like what I see a lot is you'll see people that write with their friends almost exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. Yeah. But if none of you guys have pub deals, then no one's going to hear those songs.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Unless you guys are cutting them yourself. Yeah. You know? So if you are trying to find people to cut your songs, it is good to have new people or people that, you know, are from different areas and different mm-hmm. publishing companies and things in the room, you know.
Super, and it's fun. Like, you just get to know so many more people, like, when you kind of get out of your friend group, and then you can kind of, like, bring them back to your friend group, and then you're just, you know, one happy family.
Yeah, find things you love, people that you love, and then, you know, some work out, some don't.
Yeah. Hey, it's life.
Yeah. What else has been going on in your world?
I'm trying to think.
Are you doing a lot of, like, shows, like, as an artist, or is it mainly like cover stuff right now? Or
I play Rick's.
Yeah, down in Starksville.
Yeah, so I do. Yep. I opened up for Paxton P November of last year,
mm-hmm.
and I'm actually doing it again Saturday 4/20. Cool. So that's kind of like
a little smoke weed every day.
Hey, my mom said she's coming to the show, and she was like, "You cannot sing your weed song." And I was like, "Mom, it's 4/20. I was like, "You better plug your ears, because that song will be played."
What's the weed song?
I have a weed song. It's called "Stoned," and it's just like a weed song, you know.
Love a good weed song.
Yeah.
How long are your sets when you do that?
An hour.
So how many are originals and how many are covers?
I try to do like half and half.
Yeah.
So
oh, good.
Yeah, half and half. And if when I do a cover, I try to make sure it's like a cover that the crowd knows and they sing with me, and they're kind of like, I kind of like engage them too. So, but luckily, like at the last show I played in Startful, I had a lot of my friends come, and they like knew my original stuff. And so it was like really fun.
Aww.
That they knew it. So
that feels good.
Yeah, it does feel good.
Yeah. You have the whole team there for sure.
Yeah.
You always have friends and family that come to see you play, even at writers rounds.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
it really is a good community.
It really is. I have the best time. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How often do you get down back to Mississippi?
As often as I can. I haven't been in like 2 months, so
yeah,
I try to go. Like,
your mom's gonna be so mad when she hears this. She'll be like, "Come back, Callie Moore."
Well, she doesn't even live in Mississippi anymore.
Oh, really?
She lives in Texas.
Oh, wow.
So now it's like my mom's in Texas, my grandparents and my dad are in Mississippi. So it's like when I have like free time, I normally go to Mississippi because it's like a drive, so I can like drive there. Texas, fly, you know. So it's like I have to plan out my trips to Texas.
Yeah.
Mississippi.
Spur of the moment.
If I like wake up, I'm like, "Oh, I don't have anything to get. I just want to go fishing." I just go home, you know.
Yeah.
I drive 5 hours to go fishing.
Hey, I mean, if you got the right spot, you know.
I do.
Got a good spot.
Oh, yeah.
Callie has some fish tattoos. Look.
There you go.
Is that the one you got from Stoll?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, at Hardy's wedding. Tell us the story.
Oh, yeah. So, they had, Stoll was tattooing, and I was the first one. I knew he was tattooing because I had saw him the night before the wedding. And so, I knew he was tattooing. And so, the second the wedding was over, and, like, you were transitioning to the reception, I, like,
beelined it.
Oh my gosh, I was so fast. I like just went right to him, and I was like, they had the sheet, and I honestly, I probably could have looked at it over a little better and like looked at the different options, but the fish was the first thing I saw, and I was like, I want the fish. And so he gave me the fish.
Yeah,
that's the story behind the fish.
I have 13 tattoos, 12 of which are from Mike.
Really?
Yeah.
On the opposite arm, you should get Big Mouth Billy Bass. That would be so sick.
All colored in.
Yeah.
That would be great.
With the red button.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Did you all have that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I had that, too.
My dad thought it was the best thing on the planet.
Really?
Yeah, you weren't even born yet.
What song did it sing? Yeah. I'm trying to remember. It was like some parody.
Yeah, I forget.
I mean, I know what you're talking
about.
I know what you're talking about.
The, like, fake wall-mounted bass that sing songs.
Yeah.
That thing was, like,
oh, my gosh,
so popular.
Oh, yeah. They were huge. They were like, you could buy them any store, but at first you had to like buy them through the TV and like have them shipped to you.
Mm.
But then they were like at Walmart.
At Walmart is where I got mine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, they were wild.
I have a bass hung up on my wall. It doesn't sing, but it's just hung up on my wall.
Oh, like an actual taxidermy.
Did you catch it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I caught it. Yeah.
Heck yeah. How
it
big
was
is
my,
it?
It was like 5.5 pounds.
Heck yeah.
It was my first like big fish that I could mount on the wall.
Yeah.
And it was funny when I caught it, like we were fishing that day and nothing was biting. Like I was getting so frustrated. It was such a beautiful day and I was like, I want to catch a fish. And so me and my pop, we were about to leave and he was like, try this one spot. It was like in between these bushes. Like, I mean, I could only stand there and I was like, I'm going to get hung up. And so I like threw it out there. The second I threw the line out there, the fish like got on the line.
Dads always know.
And yeah. I pulled it up and I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And so he took my picture with it and he's like, all right, we're going to have to throw it back. I said, I was like, this will be mounted. This will be hanging on my wall.
We're taking this one home.
Yeah, he was like, but you can throw it back and like it'll be bigger next year. And I was like, no, we are taking it home and it will be mounted on the wall. So it's mounted on the wall now.
Hey, Callie gets what Callie wants, right?
Well, it was like my first big fish. Like, yeah, you know, I like killed my first buck this past season too.
Nice.
And it wasn't like a big buck by any means. Like I probably could have let it go and it would be way bigger this next year.
Mm-hmm.
But in my head, I was like, I'm killing it. Like when I get my mind straight to something, I'm like, it's happening. So I have my little bee antlers hanging up in my room.
They're like this big.
Oh no, it's like, it's tiny. Like honestly, like I had to look up if it was legal.
Oh dang.
To like even, but it was.
And
it was.
Like,
it was legal. So like, it was one of those things. I was like, okay, but
that's super cool. So have you hunted and fished your whole life?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have.
So like how young were you when you first started fishing and then how young when you first started hunting?
I feel like I was 5 when I started fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And then hunting. I've always went hunting with my dad and my pop and mm-hmm. they would never let me shoot the gun though because like I was too young.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't really start shooting the gun until I was in high school because they were like, I don't know. They were just like, you can just go with us and like watch us. And then I was like, I want to do it. Like, let me do it. And then
do you have any siblings?
Yes. I have an older brother and younger brother.
Okay. And how much older and how much younger?
My older brother is 26 and my younger brother is 21, I think.
Okay.
22 maybe. I don't know.
Did they go to school?
My older brother just graduated seminary.
Cool.
So he lives in Texas. And my younger brother is in Mississippi and he does something.
Yep. We love that.
I don't know what he does.
Hey, he's figuring it out.
No, he does something. I don't know. Maybe like the electrician. I think he's an electrician.
Yeah.
Give him a call on the way home. Yeah. Just to catch up.
I'll be like, what do you do? I texted him yesterday. Yeah, but I think he's an electrician.
That's great. Well, so what would you say if you were talking about like your sound? What would you say? Like, where you're at right now?
My sound?
Yeah.
I don't know.
You want me to tell you what I think?
Yes. Tell me what you think. I like getting other people's opinions on, like, what they think I sound
like.
So,
when I hear you sing, mm-hmm. I think one of the things you do best is convey emotion through your songs.
Mm.
So, there are a lot of songs that you have that, even with just you and a guitar, that it really makes people pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
I think more so than a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It is.
So I don't know if that's something you're doing purposefully or it's just who you are and what you've developed artistry-wise over time, but
mm-hmm.
I think that's something that you have that you can take a crowd and make them shut up with a song.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also think that your voice, as you talked about, you're kind of trying to find exactly the... Because you have a great voice.
Thank you.
But sometimes, like, each song's a little different.
Yeah.
You know? So, I think that's an interesting thing, too, just depending on the song. Of course, it's, like, you know, the key that it's in and stuff like that always changes that. But
yeah.
What okay. What have you been trying to, like, push towards writing-wise?
Just to get better.
Yeah.
Nothing, like, specifically, just to, like, really, like, perfect my craft of, like, writing the song.
If you're in a room, are you more of like a lyricist person or like a melody or like what would you say is like something that you consider to be your strength in the room when you're writing?
It depends on who I'm writing with. Mm-hmm. And normally I'll bring in like the melody, but mm-hmm. then some days I'll be like good at lyrics. I've never really been like the best lyricist in the whole entire world, mm-hmm. but I try. That's what I'm really trying to get better at is like my lyrics.
Yeah.
But melody and, you know, just...
I mean, if you're writing 4 to 5 times a week, you're going to get better at all of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just part of how it goes.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And is there any songs you've written recently that you absolutely love?
Yes.
Yeah.
I wrote one last week with Ryan. Me and him did like mm-hmm. a two-way, and we wrote it really. I really am, like, really proud of this song.
What's it called?
It's called Letter.
Letter?
Letter.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that one song that I said I loved? Was it something
Raining in Dallas?
Yeah.
Love that one, too.
Who'd you write that with?
Emmy Moyen.
Yeah. Emmy's a sweetie. She's
She's the most precious little.
How old is Emmy? She's just a baby still, right?
I think she's, like, 19 or 20.
Yeah, she's a baby.
Yeah, she's young. She's super young.
She's great, though. So. I remember she,
Fake
like.
ID Town.
She, like, DM'd me and was like, hey, can I, like, grab lunch or coffee with you? And I'm like, this girl's too young. I don't. It just feels weird. No. I'm like, why don't you just come to the writer's room?
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny.
Safety. Safety.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to. This is weird. Yeah.
No, she's so sweet.
She is
she's
a sweetie. So sweet. Yeah. Never. I hope she doesn't think that I was blowing her off. I was just
No, definitely not.
I'm just like,
not.
I don't want to do
definitely
this.
Definitely not. You know? No, definitely not.
She's a sweetie.
She is.
How did you meet Emmy?
She's from Starfall, too, right? Yeah. So I met her through Sarah Hardy. Mm-hmm. She was like, this girl Emmy's playing at Live Oak tonight. Mm-hmm. You should come watch her. I was like, okay. So I like went to Live Oak and watched her play. And then Emmy just like, I like walked Emmy around because there happened to be like three or four people that I knew there.
Yeah.
And I was like, Emmy, just like come walk around with me. Like I'll introduce you all these people. And so like I introduced her to like John Kraft, Becca Ray, a couple more people.
Becca's so good.
I love Becca. And we just kind of like started writing, and I was like, I love writing with this girl. Like she's good, and like I was like, I could see the potential of like how good she could really be. And so I was like, I want to keep writing with her. And so me and her started writing, and just she's like my little sister.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy how that happens. You're not super old, but you're old enough to have little sisters.
Yeah,
in the business,
yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't have a little sister,
right?
So. She's like my little sister.
Yeah. It's like Matt's kind of like my little brother.
Really?
You know? Yeah. Aww. But I mean, I'm almost like his uncle's age, so. And true. Kurt, I feel like you're like the same age as me, even though I'm older than you.
Yeah.
You know?
How old are you?
I'm 42.
How old are you?
36.
Yeah.
Okay. How old's Matt? So,
29.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to be 37 soon.
Yeah. God, you're so old, dude.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. It's weird because, like, everyone I hang out with is not my age, except, like, my friends from college and high school.
True.
But, like, all my friends at home are. You know? Like, when I go back to Pittsburgh, they're, like, everyone's reasonably the same age. Like, Mitch is a little younger, but I even have friends that I'm older, or that are older than me, that hang in. Like, Stoll is, like, 2 years younger than me, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's around the same age.
Okay.
But. This town is definitely full, specifically in the singer-songwriter community of like younger folks. I was telling Jordan Rager last night, I'm like, you're like the elder statesman of this crew, and he's 30. You know, it's not like he's super old.
Like,
you know,
honestly, a lot of my friends, I couldn't tell you how old they are.
Yeah.
If you're like, if they're over like 27, I'm like, oh, you're 30, right? And they're like, no, I'm not 30. I'm like, you're close.
It happens like that all the time. Yeah. Honestly, this town. It just, I mean, it's more about like how you live your life than your age at this place.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's definitely, you know, you'll get to where you don't go out as much and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's like, it just depends. Everybody's different. And it's like funny how they call it like classes here, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like everybody that moved to town at the same time. So like Randall Fowler, who moved to town a little bit later than other people, kind of have like been part of like your guys' crew, you know?
Yeah.
It's more about that and finding the people that need each other at the same time, you know, than it is like how old you are kind of.
Now,
I definitely feel old myself, but
You're not old.
I mean, I don't feel old, but when you were like Dibs was on my like sophomore year of high school thing, I was like I was on the road with those folks when that song came out, you know, and I was just like, crazy. All right, I guess I have been here since 2012. So it's 2024 now. So
yeah. Dozen.
There you go.
Who were some of the artists that you like look up to, or you?
I was thinking the same thing. That's weird that you just said that.
See,
yeah,
great minds.
Lainey Wilson.
Yeah,
I've loved her for like ever since I discovered her.
Yeah.
Middle Finger was the first song I ever heard of hers, and I was obsessed immediately.
Yeah.
I love her. I love that whole crew, like Ashlyn, Casey, Jenna.
Me too.
That Karen.
Whole crew is amazing.
Yes. Love that whole crew.
I call those the bad bitches.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, you do.
They are.
They have, like, not, like, an attitude, but they have, like, a thing where they kind of know.
They're confident.
They're confident.
Yeah, they're very confident. And I
love it.
I love watching them play.
Me too.
It's, like, amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who else?
Was it Kelsey and Marin when you were in high school?
Oh, well, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I've always loved her latest album, Rolling Up the Welcome Mat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great.
I love that. Yeah. Oh, my God. It's like I'm not divorced, but I like really felt every single, you know,
yeah,
every way.
It's crazy hearing her and her ex, like Morgan, you know, like both of their sides of the story kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah.
Know? I mean, that tells you there's two sides to every story.
Yeah.
And if you hear both people's sides, it's probably somewhere in the middle, you know?
Yeah. yeah. You know.
Realistically. So
Mitchell has a tune that he sang yesterday. It's like, you know, it's like you about you spreading lies about me and I'll tell the truth about you kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, it's good.
Yeah, it's great. I love that song.
I don't really know what was going on with that Kelsey thing.
No, like, I don't either.
Yeah.
Honestly. You don't know what's behind closed doors ever.
Yeah. Right? I'm just kind of like.
That's how it works. It
doesn't feel like it's my business or I'm just not that interested. But it's I do like the songs that come out of it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
it's not your business
great.
Till the songs are out there. Then yeah. it is everybody's business.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you know.
I had a friend who I won't name that was dating a singer-songwriter, and then they broke up, and he's like, dude, there's going to be a song about it. I just know, like, he was bracing for it, you know?
Did it happen?
Not that I've heard yet, well, but I'll have to keep my eyes out.
Yeah.
So look out, people who date songwriters.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I definitely know some songs that are pretty popular in town that are about specific people.
Same.
Yes,
you know?
I do,
That's
too.
That's just how it goes, you know? It's... you need heartbreak and you need trauma sometimes to make great stories.
You really do.
Yeah.
You really do.
Yeah.
This is like specifically why I haven't dated Taylor Swift is because I'm not trying to get a song written about me, you know?
Yeah. I'd at least want a third, you know?
Yeah. If I can get a third of it, yeah, sure.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, you're cool, but like, I don't know. Travis Kelce is pretty famous, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And in shape and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A professional mm-hmm. athlete and such. But. We know professional athletes, just not ones that are Travis Kelce.
Yeah, that's true. So look out, folks. You never know who's going to write a song about you.
Yeah, be For careful. Real. Be careful who you piss off.
Yeah.
You know? And don't piss off Kelly Prince.
Well, I mean, it could go one or two ways.
Yeah. It's been cool. Like, I feel like I've gotten to like kind of watch you grow up a little
I know.
Bit. You know?
I remember. I was thinking last night, I remember when y'all followed me, when Raise Rowdy followed me on Instagram, and I was like, oh, my. Like I was Aww. Freaking out. I was like with one of my friends, and I was like, "Yo, Raise Rowdy just followed me on Instagram. Oh my gosh!" I was like freaking out. And now they're all, like, y'all are my family. So
we love you, dude.
I love y'all too.
Yeah. Well, what else? You have that show down in Starksville. Is there anything else you have going on? We talked about the release of the song. Is there a pre-save up for that?
Yes, it is. It should be in my bio.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pre-save in Callie's.
How do
bio.
We get to your bio? What's your socials?
Callie Prince Instagram.
With C-A-L-L-Y?
I-E.
Ah, there you go. Okay. I knew that. I was just trying to get you to say it.
Yeah.
So CalliePrince@gmail.com.
Gotcha. Probably.
Yeah, basically.
Everybody is.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Unless you didn't get it.
Callie
know?
Prince on all socials.
Yeah.
Pre-save it. Yeah.
Dude, I can't wait for even more songs to come out.
Me either.
In the world to get to hear all of the great songs that we've gotten to hear so often.
Me too.
One of our events.
Me too. I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited.
We're That'd excited too, sis. Thank you for hopping on the pod with us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And thanks, Kurt, for being here too.
I had fun.
Yeah.
All's well.
Kurt's got a good tan from being on tour and running in the sun.
True.
Yeah. Lucky.
Look at that.
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Nice watch one.
Yeah, nice watch tan. Yeah.
I don't tan, so...
I like I'll burn some and then it'll turn to kind of tan.
Yeah.
I'm pretty pasty just in general, but
if I burn, I burn and then I'm back.
Yeah.
To my pastiness.
Pastiness.
Yeah, so.
Hey, you can always do that spray tan stuff.
Oh, I do. I live by that stuff. I live by spray tans.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, it's probably safe.
Yeah, it's better
UV protection.
You.
But like I still sit in the sun. Like I'll go to the pool and I'll still just crisp
Well, you still need
myself.
The vitamin D.
Yeah, you know.
You know.
So I'll probably have old, wrinkly, white skin when I get older.
Well, at least you'll have great songs.
Yeah, true.
There you go. There you go.
Well, like I said, thanks for hopping on the pod with
thanks
us.
Thanks for having me.
I can't wait to have you make you play even more rounds for us.
I can't wait either.
And then I can't wait for the time where we can't get you to play anymore because you're too busy.
Hopefully.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I'll always play.
Well, we appreciate it, dude.
Of course.
Well, guys, I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we'll
see you
in
the front row.